Let's get this party started.
I'm in it again, just so you know.
You left your placard.
Whoa.
Oh, I'll grab my placard.
No, your placard's mine now.
It's pretty complicated.
You guys like my assistant. The administrative assistant.
Is that Reed?
No, we not.
We were sending you guys speaking to this.
Yeah. I moved that motion.
Are you up there?
Yeah, I do.
Why? Always.
Because I'm an engaged counselor.
Yeah, well, I'm so happy we found this world.
All right, we'll start counsel in just a second here.
So what was this?
For speaking.
Oh.
Is that why
in order to speak to all, to like get a good advantage? No, I don't want to see that.
No. Yeah, you don't.
Yeah. In order for you to be granted, Levi has to approve.
You know, it's the other way around.
No.
I approve him.
He's at the end of the rope, plus I like him more. So. Yeah,
but I'm like bird climbing this material. I'm sitting in like the inner.
I mean, part. I'm only allowing you to stay in the council chamber just because it's your birthday.
Wow, I didn't realize I got some special privilege.
Yeah.
All right,
we'll call this meeting to order at 6:07 p.m.
That was pretty good.
Before we begin, may I remind you all of the oath that you have taken. The students you would also like to honor the nation of your relationship by acknowledging that this meeting is taking place on Treaty 6 territory. Speaking of business, the next meeting of Students' Council will take place on Tuesday, January 28th, so 2 weeks from today at 6 p.m. Sorry, did I say January? I meant June. Yeah, January. Why not? June 28th, 2016 at 6 p.m. in Council Chambers. Other announcements, one of the people from Discover Governance wanted me to underscore the importance of filling out your GovCamp exit surveys. Please do so if you have not already done so. For those that have already done so, kudos. If you have not done so, please do so sooner rather than later. Also, I don't know if all of you have had a chance to meet her. I'm assuming that most of you have. In the back over there is Mercy. She is the Council Administrative Assistant. She's awesome. She's great. Please make yourselves known to her, and don't be mean to her. Or else I'm authorizing President Rahman to fling his hat at any one of you. Maybe Marina will do so, sorry. Vice President Bannister will do so, because she looks way more threatening. All right, so that all out of the way. We'll get to attendance very quickly, and then we'll get on to the rest of the agenda. President Rahman.
Aye, aye, Captain.
Vice President Bannister.
Here.
Vice President Sundari. Vice President Patches.
Here.
Vice President El Hussein. Governor Champagne.
Present.
Councillor McKinley.
Yeah.
Councillor Angus.
Present.
Proxy for Councillor Piani.
Here.
Councillor Dutirwa.
Oh, here.
Councillor Monda.
Hi.
Councilor Larson.
Here.
Councilor Victoria Dion.
Here.
Councilor Hammond.
Hello.
Councilor Alfamuri.
Here.
Proxy for Councilor Prasad. Councilor Prognow.
Yo.
Councilor Nahid.
Here. Here.
Proxy for Councilor One.
Here.
Councilor Nick Dion.
Yeah.
Councilor Brophy.
Here.
The birthday boy, Councilor Christensen.
Here.
Councilor Scott.
Here.
Councilor Flynn.
Here.
Councilor Howie.
Here.
Councilor Warrior.
Yeah.
Councilor Kwan. Proxy for Councilor Newman.
Here.
Councilor Nguyen.
Here.
Councilor Mahalo.
Here.
Councilor Kedemwan. Councilor Farouk.
Here.
And here is not. Wonderful. So, with speaker's business out of the way, we have a very short agenda today. I would just bring, right before we finish speaker's business, I just bring your attention to the item that Vice President Patches chose to include on the late additions, which is, I believe it's the changes to the QT agreement. So the motion that was passed either the last meeting or the meeting before that, the changes to the agreement are reflected in the late additions document that's included in there. All right, so there aren't any presentations, so we'll go directly to executive committee reports. Do any members of the executive wish to make a report? President Romano.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'd just like to say that I really enjoyed GovCamp, really enjoyed my convocation today, and I'd also like to wish a very warm, happy birthday to our very own Councillor Christensen.
Vice President Bannister.
All right, so again, thank you for everyone who came to GovCamp. I hope everyone got a chance to read our reports, because I'm very excited about mine, and that's because I officially announced GovWeek! So some of you, I hope most of you know what that is already, but GovWeek is a five-day celebration of everything governance. It includes faculty associations, department associations, dedicated fee units, the whole gamut. And the purpose of GovWeek is to get people involved, get people run to in by-elections, and help create a sense of tradition on campus. I am striking something called GWAG. So GWAG is the GovWeek Advisory Group. Ben, the CAF chair, is going to be on it, and there's one other student council representation spot on it. I will now post that application form in our WhatsApp. The deadline to apply is next Thursday. It's going to be a great committee. We're going to meet once every 2 weeks over the summer and then in September, and it will help inform a lot of the planning and advising that goes into GovWeek. So if you have any questions about GovWeek or GWAG, just let me know in question period. Thanks.
Thank you very much, Vice President Bannister. Vice President Patches, go ahead.
Hey everybody, real quick report for myself. A lot of what I've been up to is in the council report. But what I just like to quickly briefly speak to is last week or the week before, was it the Friday before we went to Mac Hall?
Yeah.
Yeah. So we did go, so myself, BB Bannister, Alwasain, and Sundari traveled down to Calgary for the second Mac Hall trial date. And how this is an injunction to keep status quo as usual at Mac Hall in lieu of the actual trial, which is going to be in the future. And this date went not quite as good as the last one. The USC kind of came out swinging, whereas the SU came out swinging on the first trial. So it'll be interesting to see what happens. If you have any other questions on how it went, feel free to ask me. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Vice President Patches. That close executive committee reports unless anyone would like to report on Vice President Cernel and Vice President Soup Life's portfolios? Wonderful. All right, so we'll close executive committee reports and move on to board and committee reports, starting with CAC.
Cool. Hey, okay. First off, last meeting we had a good breakthrough with the attendance policy that we're working on. We're going to have one last meeting to solidify it, and then we'll be bringing forward a proposal to a bylaw once that's done. So if you're interested in learning more about that, you can make it to our next CAC meeting, which will be next Tuesday. I'll confirm the time if you guys later. Aside from that, you guys should go to CAC. It's really fun. The discussion's always had. It's a good time. I'm going to try to move the time a bit earlier in the future, just because I know it's 7 p.m. It's really freaking late, and I'm always tired, so I'm going to tell you that earlier, but you guys should come to the next meeting. Good discussion, and if you guys have ideas, just shoot me a message, and I'll throw it on the agenda for you. Thanks.
Thank you very much, Councilor Angus. We'll go next to Policy Committee.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I don't really have much of an update. We have an outline of the policy review timeline, so we don't get everything squashed at the end of the year. But yeah, that's about it.
Thank you very much, Councilor Dion. We'll go next to Nominating Committee.
So we had one meeting since our we had one meeting since our last student council meeting, and in it we discussed advertising and how what's the most effective way to reach students. We decided that a lot of times we will reach out to counselors and ask you to help us advertise, especially if the position seems relevant to students in your faculty. But right now we don't have any positions that need to be filled, so we will not be meeting until another position comes up.
Thank you very much, Vice President Bannister. We'll go next to the Audit Committee.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. So Audit Committee just had their first meeting a couple weeks ago. KPMG presented their plan for the Students' Union audit. And tomorrow we are meeting, and Vice President Patches will be presenting how to complete a faculty association audit. So going through the whole process there. So if you're interested in how that works, this could pertain to any counselor that's interested in how faculty associations get approved for their fees. You can come out to that. That's at 6 p.m. and bring your laptop if you want to participate. It's going to be interactive. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Councillor Hammond. We'll go next to Councillor Christensen with an update from Bylaw Committee.
So today we have our first kind of item of business that we've been working on. Since the start of the summer, we've been working on various pieces of legislation, and we'll be seeing the first one here. The new one, which I'll talk about later when we get to it, is about a way to fill students' council vacancies. And this was a really great idea brought up by like kind of the committee as a whole, so I really hope that it passes, because I think a lot of us put some really good time and hours into discussing and debating the nitty gritty. I look forward to that. I think the rest of the committee does too. So thank you.
Thank you very much, Councillor Christensen. Any other members of any boards or committees who wish to make a report? Governor Chopin.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. So since our last meeting, there have been a few things board-wise. There was a board meeting where we quickly adopted the university's audit report. There was a BERC meeting, so BERC is the University Relations Committee, and we received a good presentation from outgoing Chancellor Ralph Young on the Senate and what the Senate does, so if you have any questions on that, I can send you some more information. But what's probably more worthwhile talking is the Suicide Prevention Task Force report that was given to BSHEC, which is the University Safety, Health, and Environment Committee. In that report, there are numerous strategies stated, such as working with residences to increase engagement and social connections, and in the long term, providing support to key units and services in the form of funding. So that is some encouraging literature on what can be upcoming in the future years. So I think it'll be worthwhile to keep an eye on these strategies and see if they actually go anywhere, which works with the framework the university is proposing in their strategic plan, which should be approved in this Friday's board meeting on the 17th. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Governor Champagne. Any other members of any boards or committees who wish to make reports? Seeing none, we'll close board and committee reports there and move into open forum. Are there any questions for open forum? I don't even know if we have any students at large here with us other than K-Grade. Any questions for open forum? Going once, going twice. All right, so we'll close open forum and we'll go into question period. We didn't have any oral questions submitted, written questions submitted, so we'll go into oral questions, starting with Councillor Nahi.
So this question is for Councillor Pockenu. I was wondering if you can expand on Gear Week.
So thank you, Councillor Nahid. So, I'm going to use a loophole here. I am in charge of GearWeek. If you don't know what GearWeek is, it's the engineering version of Antifreeze, except a lot crazier in some regards. And it's going to be coming up in January this year. And I will be sending out a package for people who are interested. And I'm inviting every single university student at the U of A this year, which is the first time it's ever happened in 75 years. So if you're interested, come at me. There's a whole bunch of different events. The grand prize, we haven't quite decided yet. It's either going to be a ski trip for 10 or a trip to Mexico. So, yeah, guess SS got some money this year to spend. But yeah, so it's basically a giant event. You compete against all the other engineering teams for bragging rights to see who's the best technical faculty at the university. And it's 8 days long. You get to hang out with me. And it's a great time. Oh, yeah. Thank you, Councilor Matthew.
Thank you very much. We'll go to Mr. Bondarchuk.
Excellent. Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I have a question for the Vice President of Academic. She mentioned in her report the creation of GovWeek 2016, trademark to follow, I'm sure. Mm-hmm. I was wondering if she could elaborate on the measurable outcomes of the event and what results she'd like to see to have it be a successful event in her mind.
Thank you for that question, Foxy Bondarchuk. I'm really excited about GovWeek, and if it's not clear, it's made up of sessions and events. So it's much easier to measure the specific success of an individual session and an event, how many people attended something, what the feedback was in that specific item. If you talk more holistically about GovWeek as a whole, one of the most tangible outcomes, in my opinion, would be seeing a voter increase or more people running in the by-election to fill vacancies both on student council, general faculty council, and faculty associations. As well, we do have, as of today, we actually own the website, www.govweek.ca. So we can also see things like how many click-throughs we have to the resources and information that's posted on that. We can also see notable increases in any sort of organizations that are present as well. So I'm not going to lie to you, a lot of what GovWeek is more intrinsic than measurable, but I do think that there are some measurable outcomes that can come out of it as well.
Thank you very much, Vice President Bannister. We'll go next to Councillor Larson.
This is a question for our VP Operations and Finance. I would just like to get a little bit more expansion on the Mac Hall issue and how that might affect our own students union.
Certainly, thank you for the question, Council Larson. So I'll try and keep this within speaking term. Essentially what's happening is there is a dispute between U of C and U of CSU over ownership for Mac Hall. And from what I understand, the best of my ability, through all of the approximately 6 to 7 hours of trials I've sat through and more legalese, is what essentially what's happening is over the course of the last 20 years, there's been multiple lease agreements signed between the U of CSU and the U of C. And with each agreement, the wording has gotten more and more vague as to what exactly the relationship is between the two. So is it a landlord operator? Is it a tenant? Is it a fair 51-49 relationship? Is it 50-50? So right now, it's pretty ambiguous, and both are and they're pretty caught between who exactly does what. And from the U of C is claiming, no, you're a tenant, we're the landlord, so we can take it. And the U of CSU is saying, no, we're operating and we own the majority of it, so it's our building. Really, they both had logical arguments in either way. And how it could affect us is, of course, we own a building, but we don't have the kind of ambiguity in the contract language that they did over the first time. So we're more secure in we're more secure in our building.
Thank you very much, Vice President Patches. We'll go next to Councillor Dion.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. This question is for President Rahman. I saw in the President's report that he's now the chair of CASA's Policy Committee. I'm just wondering if he has any goals that he set for the committee this year.
Sure thing. Thanks for the question, Councillor Dion. I didn't have any particular goals when it came to policies that I need to get approved, just because I'm pretty content with CASA's policy. Actually, the intention that I had with running for chair is that there's going to be some big movement, I think, with the new federal government as they step into their second year of their mandate. I think they're going to take some bolder moves when it comes to student financial aid as well as sexualized violence on campus policies. And so I'd really like policy committee to be pretty involved with advocacy, and so that's why I wanted the chair of CASA's policy committee to be someone who is well-versed in lobbying, so we can take a look at and see if there are any gaps in our policies and sort of review things as needed, as opposed to creating new policies or filling any gaps right now.
Thank you very much, President Rahman. We'll go next to Governor Champagne.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. My question is for the Vice President, Operations and Finance. I'm wondering, he spoke a little bit on the historical and how it might affect us, but what is the next step then for Mac Hall, and what is the University of Calgary SU planning to do?
So the next step is towards the end of the June, there will be a decision on the injunction. So both trials that we attended, the first one was majority of the U of C SU telling their side with a little snippet from the U of C. And then the next one was the U of C telling their story with a little bit of a rebuttal from the U of C SU. So then the decision on the injunction will happen towards the end of June. And then if the injunction is successful, then the businesses and the attendance will operate as status quo until the trial. And if it is not successful, then the U of C will take over the tenants, and the tenants will start writing their rent checks to the U of C instead of the U of C SU, which is a major part of the revenue, which then could impact services they provide to students. And as far as their plans, I haven't talked to them extensively about their plans on that side. Every time we've gone down there, they've naturally been quite busy and caught up. But I imagine they have some kind of contingency plan moving forward and creating alternative revenue sources or having making sure to be as collaborative as possible with the university so that no services are cut to students.
Thank you very much, Vice President Patches. We'll go next to Councillor Ankus.
Cool. My question is for the Vice President Academic. Are there any ways you see foreseeing Council getting more involved with the setup for Gov Week and the Gov Week itself?
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, and thank you, Councillor Angus, for the question. There's lots of ways that council and councillors can be involved in GovWee. So one of them, obviously, is being the council representative on GWAG, the advisory group. And I think that I welcome any and all councillors to run individual sessions or sessions as your committees. If you campaigned on engagement or increasing transparency or getting more students informed of opportunities, GovWeek is a great opportunity to do that. So something that I've already talked to Council Administration Committee about, because I did present GovWeek to them before coming to Council, was having a Council Mentorship Program mixer before Student Council. Student Council is actually during GovWeek, so that will be on the GovWeek calendar. Individual councillors or councillors by faculty can cut town halls to get interest to the students and get issues that are important to them. We can also do events. I spoke to the CAF chair, Councillor Angus, about perhaps Council doing a pancake breakfast for the entire student body. So there's lots of different ways. I know that Councillor Dijon also stated she may want to do something about policy committee hosting a session. So really get your wheels turning. The applications to run a session, to register an event or facilitate a session will be live on July 1st and they'll be open until August 1st. So you have a full month to put together that information if you do want anything on the GovWeek calendar.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. My question is for Vice President Operations and Finance. This is a different question from the other ones. I remember a few years ago, the university was building a peer exploration hub, but there was not too much updates given for this after the fact. So I'm just wondering if you have any information as to where the space is in terms of being operational, if any.
I believe President McMahon has more information on this than I do.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Vice President Patches and Councillor Krug, for all of your contributions in creating this question and giving me the opportunity to answer it. I'd say that progress on this is definitely stalled. The big thing is that HUB is vacant and we're ready to do renovations. We just don't have money yet to do renovations. And by that I mean we don't know how much renovations we can. Now, there were options for renovating a set amount of the space, you know, anywhere from 50% to 99% of the space in HUB, based on how much money we have. The university is willing to pay 50%, and now we need to work with the faith-based organizations like the Muslim Students Association to figure out how much money they can raise, and then set aside, and let the construction company know this is how much you should renovate up to until we can get more funding. So that's what we're waiting on right now, but I think that myself and VP student like Al Gossain will be pressuring the university to move quicker rather than slower on this, because we really like to see that prayer space be set up sooner rather than later.
All right, thank you very much. Councillor Larson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Now this question for our Vice President Academic. Is GWAP? GWAP?
GWAP.
GWAP. So close. Is that an open or closed committee?
It's an open committee. I'm happy to have anyone attend who wants to attend. It is an advisory group, so it will serve more of an advisory function instead of having like formal motions. There is lots of student at large positions on it, so I will run it somewhat informally, obviously still being like the type A person I am. But we won't do like really strict Robert's Rules of Orders or motions or anything like that. It's more about making sure that Gov Week is planned and executed in the most inclusive and accessible way possible.
Are there any further questions for question period? CNN, this is highly unorthodox, but I'm going to ask just a clarification question because this came up during one of Vice President Bannister's responses. What's the difference between registering an event and facilitating a session?
Thank you for the question, Mr. Speaker. Sorry if I wasn't clear. So there is two separate things you can do when the Gov Week applications become live on July 1st. You can A, facilitate a session, which means that, for example, I've committed to facilitate, oh, this is a better example. So the CRO, Donald, has committed to running two different sessions in Gov Week, both on how to become participate in the by-elections and kind of a secrets to success, why you should be part of it, et cetera, et cetera. He is facilitating a session that the SU will support him with. We can help him book a room, we may be able to provide catering, we'll set up an Everbrite for him and make sure that people are registered to go to that session. You can also register an event. So an example of registering an event is a faculty association may be already planning on having a fall AGM. The SU isn't planning that event for them or making sure people go, but if they're already having that event going, they can register that on the Gov Week calendar. So if you have like Sustainability Week or Health Week, it's the same sort of shift where you have a big calendar that has like events and sessions on it every day. So you can either facilitate a session for Gov Week or register an event that you're already doing as an existing governance body. Does anyone have any follow-up questions on that? If I'm being unclear, just ask me another question and be happy to expand.
So I just wanted to make sure that was clear. Councillor Mondo.
I have a question for Governor Sean Pan. For the Suicide Prevention Task Force, can you expand a bit more on the recommendations and if there's a timeline for the implementation of the recommendations?
Thank you for the question. Yes, there is a timeline. There's a whole list of recommendations. There's like 17. There's more than 17. There's like 30. But they're divided in short, medium, and long term. If Councilor Mondo would like, I can send him the document itself, but they range from, for example, creating a suicide prevention implementation committee to move the university forward on initiatives, so to keep sure that the initiatives are moving forward, develop campus-wide collaborative awareness, promote how to help resource tab, and they go all the way to long-term goals, which are as general as increasing social spaces for students on campus. So anybody who would like to have the report was part of the open agenda of that committee and is a public document, and I can forward that to anyone who desires. Thank you for the question.
Thank you very much. Are there any other oral questions for question period? Seeing none, we'll close question period there. And we'll move into board and committee business. Excuse me. So we have one item 7A, bill number 1, vacancy petition. Councillor Christensen, seconded by Councillor Procna, move to approve the first principles of bill number 1 on the recommendation of bylaw committee and implement vacancy petitions as a mechanism to fill vacant students' council seats. The first principles are listed in the main agenda as well as on the screen in front of you. Just to keep in mind, I won't be able to show all 10 of the first principles on the screen unless I go really small, in which case most people might not be able to read. If you don't have a copy, there should be copies of the main agenda just on the table in front of me over here. But we'll continue. Councilor Christensen, would you like to introduce your motion?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. So after recent discussion and deliberation regarding the need to fill vacant students' council seats, the bylaw committee came to this new kind of innovative solution that will allow the vacancies to be filled on a rolling basis if they exist after the fall by-election period. Last year we had a similar but somewhat different, similar purpose but different approach that wasn't successful in the end of the year passing. It was just close to the end. So we this year took this new, took the idea from last year and tried to find a way that was mutually beneficial to all members of the committee. The bulk of the workload from this bill will be done by Discover Governance if it becomes law, with the support of the various faculty associations. This new process prevents any perceived nepotism that would occur by direct appointment by FAs, which was some of the concerns brought up in the past. Essentially, the system will allow students to collect a prescribed number of signatures from students within their faculty. It will be based upon a number based on previous elections, which will be more, if this passes, more laid out in second reading. There will be a waiting period so that it doesn't come into effect the first person who gets there, so that more than one person, if they wanted to, would be able to run. And the person who has the highest number at the end of this waiting period would be the winner. As a committee, we don't expect there to be a huge uptake in this method, but it's more to engage the smaller faculties, which already have poor representation and have for some time. We believe that this will allow someone on the inside in this faculty to represent their students and to also be able to build up the position moving forward, so that in the future we won't have a need for this, hopefully, and we will be able to fill these positions through regular elections.
Thank you very much, Councillor Christensen. Is there any debate on item 7A? Councillor Farouk?
Reading through the initial first principles, the policy looks large, looks fine. I just have concerns towards the last couple of points, if the Speaker wants to highlight those. Just with the highest number of signatures making the person the appointed councillor. I think there can be a lot of problems with this if it's not clarified, particularly the fact that, you know, whoever has had signatures might just be like an arbitrarily large number, rather than something that's a bit more defined. And there's circumstances in which, you know, what if the numbers are equal, then who gets to decide? And as far as I can tell, the CRO doesn't play a role in this, which I think would be an amenable solution for when there are equal number of signatures or otherwise. This is overview of the process. As CRO is considered like a separate body, whereas the Discover Governance, while great, is technically still like an operational unit of the SU, as far as I understand. But otherwise, it does look fine. But I do believe that those things were probably clarified in second principles.
Thank you very much, Councillor Farouk. We'll go next to Councillor Larson.
Hi there, everybody. I'm here to speak in favor of first principles. The way I look at this is a slightly different manner, which is that I believe that our election systems, even though that they are just very straightforward elections, they're very much a democratic process and they work really well. I believe there's a lot of students who don't participate in those elections for a variety of reasons that most of us in this room don't often think about. So things like possibly never wanting to run an election, possibly being too shy to do it, possibly not having any understanding of our by-election law, which is something that we're going to have to look into as well in the future. I believe this is something that after all these processes have not engaged a certain amount of students, we as counselors in this chamber can go out and talk to persons in these faculties and say, hey, why aren't you engaged, and go through that process with them and get somebody here who can speak on their behalf to say, this is why we're not engaged, this is why we don't care about your elections, this is what we want to see change. This is the route that if this went through, I would be doing this right away. This would be something that I'd be interested in. I'm guessing that GovWeek would have a great session on how to make sure you have more signatures than somebody else, but that's a whole other bag of beans. That's my two cents, and let's see how this goes.
Thank you very much, Councillor Larson. We'll go next to Councillor Monda.
I think this looks really great. I love the idea. The one thing I think we should maybe take a look at adding on is some sort of provision that prevents someone from being placed on council via petition quite more than once, because I wouldn't want councillors to see this as a way to get around actually running in an election. So I think that's an amendment we should consider.
Thank you very much, Councillor Mondo. We'll go next to you, Councillor Pratt now.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. So just to address some concerns that have come up so far. Basically, the idea is that if there was an event of a tie, which we will, of course, clarify in second principles, we go to what a lot of democracies in the world do, is you basically do a coin flip. So that way it's unbiased, it's completely fair, because if people are tied, then the best way to possibly break it is to coin flip and nobody else is going to influence in any way, shape, or fashion. And Discover Governance's purpose is only to facilitate it. They aren't going to oversee any rule, like the rules and stuff like that. It will be the responsibility of the CRO. The Discover Governance is just doing facilitation, getting it to the FAs. The FAs will help Discover Governance, that kind of thing. Basically, the idea was that this would be for a one-time shot. So, for example, a faculty such as Native Studies, if they were to have somebody fill the positions in this way, then it would no longer apply to Native Studies in the next go-round. So it would prevent people from continuously petitioning to get into the seat. They have to actually run for it. So, yeah. Hopefully that kind of makes sense, clarify some concerns. But yeah, thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Thank you very much, Councillor Prock. Now we'll go next to Councillor Flynn.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Overall, it does look okay. The one thing that I would like to, I guess, see modified, either now or it clarified in second principles, is point 6 and to a lesser extent point 8 regarding the signatures. When it comes to nomination packages for the general election and the by-election, in bylaw 2300, there is a stipulation here regarding the 10, at least 10 and no more than 20 signatures. Candidates who are registered in open studies are exempt from such and such requirement. Presumably this was added years ago because it is extremely difficult to find that many people in that faculty. And if there is a stipulation that for this vacancy petition, a prescribed number of students have to sign a form, it might be difficult for those people, especially in a faculty such as mine where there is often vacancies, that it would be almost a bar to entry, whereas that bar isn't there for the general and the by-election. So if that's something that could be considered, I would be more amenable to looking upon this favorably.
Thank you very much. Councillor Haynes.
Cool. Just like many others, I also like the idea of this. I think it's a better solution as opposed to having nothing, and I think we should have something in place. One of my concerns, I guess, is just how realistic it's going to be once it's applied. One of the clauses is that, in terms of the amount of signatures, you have to have it based on prescribed number of students in the faculty based on past elections. And my issue is that if it's a faculty, even if it's a smaller faculty, depending on how many, like whatever the number is they need, it still could be an unrealistic number to reach. Like, for example, in Med, if there was only 34 students who voted, Med has a much larger population, so I think it'll be very difficult to get that amount of signatures for the candidate. If you guys want to clarify, I guess, how you will approach this, that'd be great. Thanks.
What is Parliament Chapin?
Yes, Governor Chapin.
How do we... No, never mind.
Okay.
Thank you.
You can ask your question anyways if you'd like, just...
That's fine, thank you.
Okay. Vice President Bannister.
Hello, sorry, I'm still getting used to these mics. So I go back and forth on this, and the reason is because I sometimes get frustrated that we invest so heavily in last-ditch measures with the hopes that we never have to use them. So I think in an ideal world, we'll never have to use this bylaw because there won't be vacancies. And in my opinion, if the if we did a better job as a community to advertise elections and to set students up for success so they felt they could run in elections, we wouldn't necessarily hopefully have the need to use this. So I just question if we're putting our efforts in the right spaces. That being said, I still see that there is a need for this realistically in practice. Another thing that's very important to me is the ability to say that everyone on student council is elected. And not necessarily because like I think it's important, but when we lobby other groups and we lobby the government or the university, we can say, well, student council said this, and student council is a group of elected individuals who are there to represent their students. And I don't think that that is insignificant. So under this new measure, if we did get counselors appointed this way, would they be in fact appointed, or are they elected by a different method? I'm unclear about that right now, if we'll lose the ability to say that we're a group of elected students. Another thing that, and I've already talked to Counselor Christensen about this, is I do think it's important that people can't use this system after a certain point. Like, for example, I don't see why someone should be able to do this 3 days, or like when there's a month left in their term. That seems pointless to me. Likewise, I know Councillor Christensen brought this up as well, that it's important that if someone ran and lost to none of the above, that this is not an option for them, because students said that they didn't want that person. So I go back and forth on this, like I said, and I think that we shouldn't be afraid to try new things such as this. But I also question if this is the right thing to do. So I'm curious to see more thoughts coming out of council.
Thank you very much, Vice President Bannister. We'll go next to you, Councillor Scott.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I have a concern about the 7-day waiting period. Specifically, will there be a mechanism for publicity to be created that indeed a petition has been submitted? How will the general body of people, student body in that faculty, know about the petition, and if they want to submit one, is 7 days enough?
Thank you very much, Councillor Scott. We'll go next to Councillor Brophy.
Yeah, I definitely think that, I'm with a lot of people here, that I think that having some sort of representation is better than no representation. There are a couple of things in this that I would hope so could get ironed out before second principles. In particular, similar to what Vice President Bannister was saying about the how democratic this would look, is that I think that if there's more than one petition, it might be a better idea instead of just saying whoever has the most signatures, especially if one person submits their petition and the next person gets, like, you know, finds out how many signatures they got, and if, like, one more and gets it, that's, you know, seems a little sketchy to me. Maybe have a, you know, if multiple petitions are filled out, trigger a by-election.
Thank you very much, Councillor Brophy. We'll go next to Councillor Altamori.
So just thought of this. And when we have elections, typically the student body will vote in order of ranking of who they want to have as a representative. But in this case, if you have more than one petition, couldn't hypothetically students sign more than one petition having, you know, like, it wouldn't really be relevant, in my opinion, like, if you have your vote cast on multiple petitions. That's just my opinion.
Thank you very much, Councillor Altamori. We'll go next to Councillor Christensen.
Thanks, everyone, for the question. So, a lot of these things we have thought about, and we've come up with, in second principles, so I've already started kind of drafting things out, and we discussed this as part of the committee. A few of the things. So open studies, that one will be a challenge. I'm not sure that we would even include open studies in this just because of that that obvious concerns coming up. That hasn't been totally decided yet, and we'll discuss that more at our next meeting because there might be a way we can find a workaround. Next, the threshold number of people. There is, I didn't include it in the actual second principles, but there is, like, we came up with kind of a how the threshold is decided. Specifically, it would be based on the last election where a candidate ran would be that number of signatures would need to be reached, or if there was no record or whatever, it would be the last student council election
the mean average of the voter turnout in that election, and that would be applied to that specific faculty. So for example, this election, I think it was 13% or something like that, so then we would take 13% times it by the number of people in the faculty of medicine and dentistry, and we give us 134 people. That would be the number needed to assign, and that would be significantly more votes than I got, so it would be even more restrictive, so this would make it a little more robust. Next, how realistic is it? I don't think it would cause a whole bunch of burden on Discover governance, and it, like from this side, literally we'll be making a form and then disseminating it. We're going to be using the faculty associations to allow us to reach out to more of the grassroots people. So I don't think it'll be a hugely onerous amount of time. I think we should definitely focus a lot of our time and work on outreach to the greater community to make sure that they are appropriately running these elections and representing their faculty. Yes, as Vice President Bannister said, NOTA won, I've already drafted that into the next round. If someone lost a NOTA, they would be ineligible to run. If you're the CRO, you'd be ineligible to run the speaker, blah, 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 blah. We discussed the idea of a bye-bye election. Unfortunately, it's too cost prohibitive to do that. And this goal is mostly just to kind of get someone engaged. Literally, they'll be there for approximately 6 months. It costs over $2,000 to run one of these elections, and if we're going to get 34 people voting, is that cost effective? I'm not so sure. In terms of running, like where the cutoff will be, there will be a, if two people are submitting, I have a few ideas in my head of how that will look, but I don't think a lot of that will come up in second reading. If this passes, I would love to have that opportunity to show you the specific nitty-gritty. It's just very difficult for me to do that when first principles call for kind of vagueness. So, we'll continue to answer any questions, and all these ideas are really good for coming up with, for things that I might not have thought about or we might not have thought about, to incorporate them to ensure that the fail-safes are there.
Thank you very much, Councillor Christensen. We'll go to Councillor Farouk.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. How does that echo the points made by Councillor Scott and Vice President Bannister? I think those are really good points taken into consideration, especially the outlooks of members of council being petitioned rather than elected. And I think there's also a lot to be said for example, if you do an election and nobody runs for a faculty position, and then you do a bias and nobody runs, that may or may not speak to whether that position should be filled for that moment. Because Sessions didn't institute enough to run for that position. So that may point us to the fact that it's not maybe it's not the system, but maybe it's just perceive the position to be. And so the potential problem with the number of signatures required. For example, if you're in a faculty like the Faculty of Science, which has 7,000 students, and even 5-10% voter turnout, which is very low, ends up being 400 or 500 people voting, if that's a reasonable thing to ask for a student to go around collect signatures, whereas at that point in time, they might still be running for the position. And I know elections are very expensive to hold, particularly because they're done on an online system. It might just be better at that point to have election where people just can just come in physically vote or not. But in the end, I just see this as having a lot of problems, although I'm sure they can probably be clarified and worked on, because this is, I think, essentially a good idea at the end of the day, and does try to do something good. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Councillor Farouk. We'll go next to Councillor
Brockman. Good. Thank you, Speaker. So the whole idea of this is, I agree with the Vice President Academic that this shouldn't be the way we fix disengagement, essentially. I totally agree that there is a better way to do this, but this is basically our way of making a last-ditch attempt so that we can officially say that nobody is seriously interested in this all at all. I mean, giving everybody every single opportunity, every different way you can possibly try and fill the seat and get them representation on council. I also think it's a little odd for us to say that we represent every faculty of the U of A when we have empty seats and these seats aren't voting. So we can't accurately say that as is when there's nobody sitting in these seats and they're not voting. We've got all these other faculties voting on things that may be pertinent to, say, for example, Native Studies, when Native Studies itself isn't voting on what Native Studies is interested in, right? So it's more of a last ditch, and it's not designed to be easy. Because if it was designed to be easy, then people would abuse this completely, which is why we made it hard, which is why we made it so that you have to get kind of an almost ridiculous number of signatures, but in some cases, 13% for a faculty such as Native Studies is 13 signatures. It's not a hard number to get, right? This isn't really designed for faculties such as engineering, science, and arts, because we seem to not have a problem filling those seats, right? So it's just, it's giving people an opportunity who may be too scared to run or didn't realize, oh, maybe I could actually do this kind of thing. And just, it's more of a way to increase representation, and then if nobody wants to fill these seats, then we can officially say that we gave everybody every single opportunity they could. So yeah, that's just my whole idea on it. If you, like Councillor Christensen said, it'll be a lot more hashed out in second principles if it gets to that point, which I hope it does. But yeah, thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Thank you very much. Councillor Proc now, we'll go next to Governor Champagne.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Let's not forget here that this is to fill a vacancy. So we've already went through the elections process and the by-elections process. And the odds that someone uses this process we're proposing here in a nefarious manner after an election, after a by-election, and that this loophole, this nefarious loophole or whatever, is not covered in second principles is very, very slim in my opinion. I think we're giving a lot of energy right now to debating the if, ands, and buts of something that's not very likely to happen. And so I'll just conclude with saying that I will be voting in favor of these first principles and look forward to the second principles. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Governor Champagne. Councillor Victoria Young.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'm really in favor of this motion. I like that the bar is higher for folks putting signatures. Like they have to get more people to vote for them than if they were running the election. If we want to add legitimacy to it, I wonder if council would be open to having council ratify the folks who collect enough signatures, just as an added formality. That could be something to be explored in second principles. I am wondering if slates would be included in the petition, or if it would just be singles. I'm just curious. And I wonder if council would be open to adding another principle, just stating that the CRO would have jurisdiction over if one person submits a signature and then or submits a petition and then someone else within the 7 days and then it submits it and then it gets extended. I just think the logistics of that, it might be better handled under the CRO, but that's up for debate as well. But I will be voting for this bylaw.
Thank you very much, Councilor Dionne. Go to Councilor Angus.
Sweet. Okay. I guess just one last thing to consider. I'll be voting in favor of this without an issue, but I don't know if you want to add this as potentially another clause or just something to consider when doing second principles, but just either including something that just says that, be something the idea of just making an inclusion that SU will continue to commit to promoting elections and inclusion within different faculties, just to really enforce that this is a last-ditch effort. I agree with Vice Principal Academic that this we really should be spending more efforts on promoting voting and involvement within faculties and not really using this. I think we need a last-ditch effort, but I would like to see this idea of using this as a last-ditch effort really seen in the bylaws, and that we want to at least commit to continue promoting this. I don't know how this would be enforced exactly. You guys in the bylaws seem to have fun with that stuff, so go nuts. But yeah, that'd be the last thing to include.
Thank you very much, Councillor Angus. We'll go next to Councillor Melinda.
So, depending on where we set the bar for signatures, one thing we have to consider is whether this will actually, fill vacancies or not, because at least from my perspective, I think it would be more difficult to, actually have to go out and find a bunch of people to fill out a petition versus just trying to, communicate a message in an election where you vote online. Just thinking about a petition format, I think that would require a lot more physical effort for people who are considering filling these vacancies. So it's worth considering whether, if we haven't filled these vacancies through the election process as it is, are we actually going to be able to fill the vacancies through a petition format?
Thank you very much, Councillor Mondo. We'll go next to you, Councillor Larson.
I was just going to speak to this exact idea. Thank you, basically, for bringing it up. My opinion is that I'm a special case. I can collect 200 nomination signatures in an hour. If somebody can't collect a few hundred signatures by going to classes and giving the same speeches that everybody else does during election time, maybe they shouldn't be filling out this nomination package in the first place. On the second point on that, it doesn't say that you can't enlist a little bit of help. You can't, what we've spoken about before is disseminating it to an FA, so the FA could go out and help this person find signatures, actually go find people in these classes and give this person the means to go talk to a professor or otherwise go around doing that sort of thing. And I think that's a brilliant way to do it. I saw from that, I still got a minute or two here, and I had one more thing. Oh, it allows us to take responsibility at the same time. We talk a lot about us being direct engagement, us going out and talking to faculties and stuff like that. This allows us to take direct responsibility for empty seats on our council. So instead of already, which we do have, which is we should be finding people for the by-election, if we can't and that fails, we can go help somebody collect signatures. Or we can go say, hey, here's the people you need to talk to. Your FA has all the documents. Get that done as well. So it allows us to continue those efforts that would have otherwise ended on a by-election. So I could go out right now and do that if I needed to. Yeah, well, after the by-election, anyway.
Call to question.
Governor Champagne has called to question. Is there a seconder to call to question? Councilor Farouk, just for information purposes, I currently have 4 people on the speaker's list. So call to question is not debatable, non-amendable, and it requires a 2/3 majority. So we'll use our voting system. Voting system is
and just maybe just yeah remind us the people so that they know that we're voting only on calling to the question.
So just as a quick reminder, what you're voting on is not the motion itself. What you're voting on is the motion to call to question, which is basically to end debate immediately and vote on the motion. So you're voting to vote on the motion. That makes sense. Is that unclear to anybody?
And the minus sign is against, and the plus sign is for.
Yes, so the plus sign is a vote. So basically, the plus sign is a vote to end debate immediately and to vote on the main motion. The minus sign is to continue debate, and a 0 is if you have a conflict of interest or you just don't have enough information to make an informed decision.
Point of information, Mr. Speaker.
Yes,
go
ahead.
Members are on the speaking list? 4.
4. Yes. Any other questions before? Going to clear the voting system here. Any other questions? Wonderful. So the voting system is now live. Please vote.
Oh, she just raised a placard one time to make it count.
No, thank you.
Man, as I knew.
The voting system will close in 3, 2, 1. The motion fails with 14 in favor, 12 opposed, and 0 abstentions. As a reminder, it requires a 2/3 majority. So, although there was a majority of people who voted in favor of just calling to question, it does not qualify as the 2/3 majority. So we'll go back to our speakers list. We'll go next to Mr. Viktorov.
Just wondering if online petitions would be allowed or if an online petition system would be considered.
Thank you very much, Mr. Viktorov. We'll go next to Vice President Bannister.
Thank you. My question was also, would online petitions be allowed? And the reason I ask that is if they're not allowed, is that in line with our values of accessibility? Because some people may have not be able to physically collect those signatures. And then my second one, I'm hoping someone from Bylaw Committee can clarify this. I'm still unclear if people who get on via this method will be considered appointed or elected via a petition. So if someone could clarify that, that will greatly impact the way I'll vote on this issue. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Vice President Bannister. We'll go next to Councillor Brophy.
Thank you. I think We've all been giving a lot of attention to what happened to vacancies that come from people not running, but I think it's also important to have something like this because vacancies could happen at any point in the year for any reason. Somebody could have to leave council for personal reasons, some sort of scam or conflict of interest, or because my mouth off the wrong line bar and get stabbed. Like, there, it's entirely possible that a completely full seat now could not be a full seat later, and this is a way that we could address that rather than just leaving an empty seat in a faculty that is engaged.
Thank you very much, Councillor Brophy. Go next to Councillor Christensen.
Hi again. So just a few points. Specifically, we were kind of using this as like, if we as a council ratify this whole thing through this, we would essentially be giving the process merit and technically calling it like elected by petition. That would be part of the principles themselves, or not the principles, but the wording of this, like we're giving our power kind of to this system. So it's elected by petition, yes. Slates, to address that, which apparently I was reminded we're not to call that those. For these purposes, no. We're just doing regular one-person things. At this point, actually, in the current way the bylaws are written, the slates in quotations don't actually exist anymore because it was only a one-year thing, so that needs to be removed anyway. Yes, no online thing at this time, just because we wanted to make it as official, just like running an election. Although I think Vice President Bannister brings up a very good point about accessibility, and I think we could totally write into there if you have a physical ailment that you can prove to whomever's mediating these conflicts, which I think will be the CRO. In terms of the CRO is going to be playing more of a role of kind of mediating disputes, resolving those types of things, where Discover Governance is going to be the lion's share of the actual like legwork and disseminating things, just because they have the resources to do so. And yes, as I said, I will reiterate, elected by a petition. Yes.
President Rahman.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. So I'll speak to this motion that's on the table right now. I'd say that this bylaw is proposed with faculties that tend to have vacancies in mind, and I'm looking at medicine, dentistry, and law right now, and I'd look at Native Studies in Augustine if I could, but unfortunately they're not in the room, and they won't be until the by-elections at the earliest. I think it's one thing to say that the strength of councils that is democratically elected, and it's another thing to say that the strength of councils that it represents all students on campus. And I don't think the council has done that over the past few years, and that's because we do have vacancies, and so that's why I'd really like to see something like this go forward. I realize it's not ideal, and we should be doing more marketing to encourage more students to come out and participate in our elections, but I think that based on what I've heard from council so far, I think the focus is going to be moving forward more on voter turnout than on necessarily getting candidates onto in our elections. I appreciate that the public is going to play an important role in that, in getting candidates. So hopefully it is even necessary this year and we can fill our vacancies by the time that Govweek wraps up. But again, I think that the strength of council is that we're in touch with students, and it's tough to be in touch with students if you don't have a counselor from the Faculty of Native Studies or a counselor from Augustana campus. And I can see there being concerns with people not being democratically elected, but if you go through a strenuous process like Councillor Christensen outlined, they're going to have to sometimes work even harder than people do right now in the elections to become a member of the Students' Council, and that'll make sure that they are really in touch with students on campus and have the best interests of all students on campus in mind, which is what we really should be doing as a students union that's here for every single student on campus.
Thank you very much, President Rahman. Is there any further debates on item 7A? Yes, Councillor Flynn.
Just wanted to clarify something you said earlier. When you said open studies weren't factored in, are they going to be barred from submitting a petition later, or?
So there's Councillor Christensen is in a bit of a conundrum because he's already used both of the speaking terms, as has Councillor Brock now.
Just send it on the WhatsApp.
Is there any further debates? Item 7A. Councillor Hammond, go ahead.
So I personally am of the opinion that there is strength in there being everyone being elected. My concern is just if a candidate that filled out the petition will feel the same responsibility towards their constituents if they didn't go through the democratic process. And I also questioned if they weren't willing to go through the election process, if they're suitable to represent the faculty. If we do go forward with this, I'm also not happy with the having more signatures win out, because just echoing what Councillor Brophy said, there could be some way to find out how many signatures someone gets and then just ensure that you get more. And yeah, I just think that that kind of leaves it too chancy. So I think I will be voting no.
Thank you very much, Councillor Hammond. We'll go next to Vice President Patches.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. So on behalf of Lila, I'd like to address Councillor Flynn's point on the open studies being barred. And that's certainly not what we have. We will discuss the open studies faculty and second principals. And it does present a unique situation, so we will discuss that and make sure that it's addressed properly. And of course, you as the Open Studies Council are welcome to come to the second principals and provide your insight on that. That'd be very welcome. And then I'd also just like to address one point as well, is I do see the concern in the having more signatures went out. And then that is something that we can address in the second principles. But then I do also really, I do see the point in point six, which brings the petition to have a certain amount of signatures based on a set guideline that will be brought forward in second principles. I think dependent on the faculty, that'll be quite a high bar to meet. And then by the time you get there, we'll develop a better way to determine if there are multiple people in the region.
Thank you very much, Vice President Patches. Governor Champagne.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Addressing a few things here. Let's remind ourselves that we are elected, yes, but first we were nominated by a list of signatures, each and every one of us. So that just helped us get our name on the ballot. And in this scenario, there was no one on the ballot, or no one did have fine success in the process. So that being said, I think the debate here probably shouldn't be more centered on do we want to fill those empty seats or not. And I tend to agree with the president on, yes, I'd rather see representatives from those faculties, because there is a vicious cycle of disinterest that stems from underrepresentation. And without mentors, sometimes it's a little harder to see ourselves in that position. I know myself, I was dragged into it by the previous Saint-Jean councillor, and that led me to a lot of numerous opportunities, but only because I had someone who I based myself on or helped mentor me through the process. If councillors are so inclined to vote against this motion, I suggest that they ask themselves this question: do they want to see this seat remain empty or not? And if they don't want to see the seat remain empty, but they have a better idea, I suggest they bring it to bylaw committee so that they may debate it and then propose it to us so that we can eventually fill these seats, if that is what council wishes. I know that for myself, I do not have a better idea. I do agree with this idea, and I do think that these seats should be filled at the very last ditch effort. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Governor Champagne. Is there any further debate on item 7A? Seeing none, so once again, I'll read out the motion. Christensen, Prof. I'll move to approve the first principles of Bill Number 1 on the recommendation of Bylaw Committee and implement vacancy petitions as a mechanism to fill vacant Students' Council seats. The voting system is now live. Please vote. Voting will close in 3, 2, 1. So that motion carries with 19 in favor, 8 opposed, and 1 abstention, with the abstention like to be noted. Vice President Elbasing?
Wasn't here for the debate.
Fair enough. All right, so that motion carries. Thank you very much for those enthusiastic, I don't even know what I want to call them, knocks. Because they're not really knocks. Okay, so that concludes board and committee business. There are no general orders. So before we're adjourned, we'll quickly take attendance again. Just a reminder, there's lots of information in the main order papers and the late editions, so feel free to browse through both of those and get lots of information from them if you haven't already. I also don't know if council's interested in doing some sort of informal gathering after this meeting, but I'm sure there will be a group forming outside of outside of U-Hall after the meeting's done. All right, so we'll quickly take attendance and then we'll adjourn. President Rahman.
Here.
Vice President Bannister. Vice President Sundari. Not here. Vice President Patches.
Here.
Vice President El Gossain.
Present.
Governor Champagne.
Present.
Councilor McKinley.
Yeah.
Councilor Angus.
Yeah.
Proxy for Councilor Kiani.
Here.
Councilor DeTirwa.
Here.
Councilor Manda.
See you all in August.
Councilor Larson.
Here.
Councilor Victoria Dion.
Here.
Councilor Hammond.
Here.
Councilor Alhamouri.
Here.
Proxy for Councilor Prasad. Councilor Prochnow.
Sir.
Councilor Nahid. Proxy for Councilor Jason Long.
Here.
Councilor Nick Dion.
Yeah.
Councilor Brophy.
Here.
Councilor Christensen.
No.
Councilor Scott,
take a seat.
Councilor Plant,
here.
Councilor Howie,
here.
Councilor Warrior,
yeah.
Councilor Kwan,
here.
Proxy for Councilor Newman,
yeah.
Councilor Nguyen,
here.
Councilor Mahal,
yeah.
Councilor Kevin Wan. Councilor Farouk.
Here.
I'm here, as is the general manager is not here. Meeting adjourned at 7:17 p.m.
I know, right? It's the coolest fucking job. It's the easiest job in